Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Turn number 482. I hope you all are well. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, sponsorships, please let me know at Rabbi Ismach at take10fortorah.org. So today, I'd like to talk about chametz and why chametz is such a big deal. We talked about the practical applications of how we search, what we're supposed to do, but there's just this incredible anomaly and this really powerful question that should be asked when it comes to chametz. I know the Abarbanel asks the question, I think it's very obvious, but not a lot of us have thought of it. The question is as follows. We know that matzah is a big deal on Pesach. Why is matzah a big deal? Because the Jews got out very quickly, the dough didn't have the time to rise. And so we know that, we read that story in the Torah. But when it comes to chametz, why is there a prohibition of chametz? So matzah and chametz are pretty much the same thing, the only ingredient that's different is time. So matzah is the good guy. Chametz, though, is the bad guy. Why would that be? That would be kind of like saying that on Sukkos, where we have a little bit of Nesrog and Hadassim and Aravos, and we have the four species that we take and we shake, those things should be great on Sukkos, and what, any other leafy vegetable should be forbidden? I mean, what's the corollary, one to the other? Just because matzah is a good thing, why does that make chametz a bad thing? And not only that, but why is it quite as bad as we've seen it is? It's not just forbidden to eat, to derive benefit from, to own, but it's also mandated to search and destroy. We don't only search, we also destroy. We don't only do either of those things, we also do something called bittul, and we nullify. And the laws relating to chametz are so severe. And again, the whole thing, at least reading the Torah, was about matzah, wasn't about chametz at all. So I want to understand how this has been treated throughout the years, and the truth is, there isn't a very good answer to this question. What I mean is, there isn't a very good halachic answer to this question. The Radvaz, many years ago, already is stuck on this question. He tries to explain why we have all these added prohibitions to chametz, and he says, well, there really isn't any great halachic justification. Yeah, you might say chametz is in our house all year, and because it's in our house all year, I'm that much more likely to eat it, and therefore you have to search and destroy and get rid of it. You might say this, but there are other types of foods, and ma'achalos asuros, forbidden types of foods, which also might have that, relevance to maybe I might eat it. So therefore, it doesn't really apply, and it doesn't really work. So chametz needs an explanation. Says the Radvaz, the explanation comes from Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos refers to the following conundrum that we as human beings have. God, you know that we want to do what you want us to do. What stops us? Sa'ar shebi'isa. The sa'ar shebi'isa, the leaven within the dough. And so it refers to chametz, the leaven in the dough, as the Yetzer Hara. It goes on to say v'shibud malchios, and the subjugation by other kingdoms, and the fact that we're not autonomous. But let's focus on the Sa'ar Shebi'isa. And so the Radvaz says that because of that connection of Sa'ar Shebi'isa, of chametz, and the Yetzer Hara, that's why for 1 week a year we go crazy trying to remove that Yetzer Hara. So the question, of course, still exists, in what way is chametz like the Sa'ar Shebi'isa? You can call anything the Sa'ar Shebi'isa. In what way is that the case? So there are a few different interpretations and understandings of why and how this is. So we'll go through a couple of them and see what we can get through in the time that we have. The Sefer HaChinuch begins and says, it really comes down to the fact that the most important ingredient that makes chametz different from matzah is sloth. Chametz takes a long time. Chametz takes us basically it's laziness. It's not maximizing the amount of time that you have. He says, number one, Omar ki enyane ha-karban kulam la'orir machsheves ha-makriv. A karban is supposed to be inspiring us to think, the one who brings the karban. And here he's not even talking about the prohibition of chametz on Pesach. He's talking about the prohibition of bringing chametz on the Mizbeach in general. L'fi ha-masa ha-hu yikach demyono asav b'nafsho. And based on what we're doing, we're supposed to take the metaphors from there. We're supposed to really understand it. By distancing ourselves from chametz, which is made with great delay, mikorvenu, from what we're bringing forth, yikach dimyon liknos midas hazrizos v'hakalos v'hamehiros. We learn from here that we're supposed to take the notion of quickness, alacrity, to do things as quickly as possible, Maaseh Hashem Baruch Hu. We're not here to waste time. Like they say, the only asset that we absolutely cannot retrieve once lost is time. And so time being the whole raison, the whole goal of what we're here to accomplish with, Time is the most important thing, and that's why for 1 week a year, we focus on the bread that takes less time. We focus on not allowing time to be wasted. There is no coincidence to the very first mitzvah. In the Torah, Zachodesh Zalachem, that's the mitzvah of counting time. One of the very first mitzvahs the Jews have is the mitzvah of counting Sfira. The obligation to count each day from Pesach all the way to Shavuos, there's a lot of counting going on. There's a lot of timekeeping because when we have our new opportunity to do what's right and to follow God's ways, we're encouraged to make sure we make the most out of that time and be very focused on that. So the first reason, the Yetzer Hara, the worst part of the Yetzer Hara, what's the Yetzer Hara telling us? Do, yeah, be a good person, but just be a good person later. Don't necessarily do this now. Take the time. Don't worry. You got plenty of time to get started. You got plenty of time to start this project, to start that mission. Doesn't really matter. Don't worry about it. Just relax. That's exactly the opposite of the message of matzah, and that's why the chametz represents the antithesis of the message of matzah, and that's that delay. The Chinuch suggests another idea. He says, "V'od shamati tam b'isur sa'aru d'vash l'fisha sa'ar magbia atzmo." The sa'ar represents, again, the same ingredients. The chametz is the same ingredients as the matzah. But in fact, even though it's the same ingredients, it's very puffy because, of course, the chemical reaction that exists, which just makes bubbles. It's a bunch of hot air. And that hot air, that puffery, puts one up above the other when inherently it's the same volume, nutritional volume. It's got the same stuff, but there's a lot more hot air to one over the other. That's the magbia, that's the what lifts it, that's perhaps the arrogance as others describe it. The Kliyaker goes a step further. He says, matzah simen ala hachna, ki isas matzah she'ena ola lamala. One is sort of, you know, sublimating yourself under something else. The ability to be modest, the ability to not be arrogant. That's what matzah represents. Whereas chametz, which is really the same stuff, it's just puffed up. And that's the goal. The goal in focusing on one over the other is to know that there are two types of people. People can have equal content, but one puffs themselves up over others, and the one, the matzah type of person, is the person who is the reasonable one, the one with hachna, the one who has modesty and humility. That's exactly what we're supposed to be. And the Yetzer Hara is, of course, that arrogance, that we know exactly what we're doing, we're always right, we don't need to listen to anybody, etc. Those are the focus points, I think, that exist when it comes to why is chametz like the Yetzer Hara. There are those who suggest other ideas for why is chametz considered so evil, meaning why do we have this restriction at a level that nothing else is. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, for example, that when it comes to Mitzrayim, and we know this, when it comes to Mitzrayim, and Tzias Mitzrayim, we talk about it all the time. It's a very fundamental idea for our faith in God, and why we believe in God as the master of the world and still involved in the world and has a purpose for the world. The goals of remembering Yetziat Mitzrayim is because of their theological significance. And that's why we do it all the time, day in and day out. And we have this special holiday devoted to sharing this message with our children. But because it's so important, everything attached to this prohibition is so important. And so he says, V'al kein kol mitzvah shahaya l'zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. Any mitzvah that is created around Yetziat Mitzrayim, chamura aleinu v'chaviva harbeh, is very stringent and very beloved. And so the reason chametz has so many levels of restriction, he says, forget about the Yetzer Hara. It's because it's attached to Pesach. And Pesach is attached to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is one of the most fundamental things that we're supposed to remember. We're supposed to remember how important it is to be focused on Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Shlo offers another suggestion. He says the reason it's so important that you have to be bodik, kisin in your pockets. Now this is only one particular element of the bedika, but he says, ki rov averos b'mamon. We're supposed to go through our pockets, we're supposed to really look in our nooks and crannies, we're supposed to investigate our books. V'tali b'lev lo tachmon v'halev tali b'kis. A lot of our theology is dependent on our jealousy and where we think we should be and what we should have. And all of those thoughts and all of those ideas are particularly focused and really come into sharp refrain, when it comes to Pesach. And we look in our pockets, and symbolically, therefore, we're supposed to be looking at all that it is that we do. The last thing I wanted to share is the Derech Hashem. The Derech Hashem refers to the beginning of Jewish history, and I'll read it to you in English. He says, until the Exodus, Israel was assimilated amongst other people, one nation in the midst of another. With the Exodus, they were redeemed and separated. Until that time, every aspect of human being was darkened by the spiritual opaqueness and pollution that overcame it. With the Exodus, the Jews were set aside so that they would have the opportunity to purify their bodies and prepare themselves for the Torah and for dedication. In order for this to be possible, they were commanded to rid themselves of leaven and eat matzah. He goes on to explain that it's through bread, which is the staple of existence, that we're able to see this difference of pure spirituality, the basics, whereas the chametz has the extras, the fluff, the taste, the look. There's something to it that's excess. And so for 1 week a year, the beginning of Jewish history, that first week of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we focus on the essentials, the spirituality, with none of the physicality, with none of those extras. And that's why it's so important to avoid during that week.
Have a great day.